Hello, and welcome to today's readings of selections from the February-March issue of Audiophile magazine. On today's program, you'll hear an In the Studio about producing and directing Barack Obama's A Promised Land, as well as a review of that book, It's in Your Phone's Winner, written and read by Barack Obama. We'll follow that with reviews in memoir, biography, and history, including a review of This Time Next Year, We'll Be Laughing. It's an Earphones winner written and read by author Jacqueline Winspear. Let's get right to it. In the Studio. Audiophile spoke with Dan Zitt, SVP Content Production at Penguin Random House Audio and producer and director of A Promised Land. Audiophile. President Obama has been in the recording booth before to narrate his previous audiobooks. Have you worked with him before? Were there any unique challenges involved in recording A Promised Land? Dan Zitt. I had not worked with President Obama before, but I had some familiarity with him because I directed Mrs. Obama's recording of Becoming. I felt like I got to know him a bit through her words, so in many ways, I didn't feel like this was the first time we'd met. Recording an audiobook of this length is always a challenge, but combine that with working on location during a global pandemic, and the challenges on the ground became that much more complex. Recording on location can be unpredictable, and this was the longest out-of-town recording I've taken part in. Thankfully, the president's staff was extremely helpful, leading up to the sessions, and while in studio, helping us prepare for the weeks ahead. My co-producer, Scott Cresswell, was also on site the entire time, working tirelessly to keep the technical standards high. Scott was an invaluable asset on site, and his expertise was extremely important during the recording. Despite having to navigate all of that, once we sat down and turned on the mic, it was business as usual. Audiophile. President Obama has such a recognizable voice and cadence, familiar to many from his speeches. How did you help to capture the more intimate tone necessary for the audiobook? Dan Zitt. It starts with the writing. If you think about memoir as a genre, it begins with the writer trying to recreate their journey in a way that satisfies their own need for reflection. This intimate process informs the performance. Since President Obama won 2 Grammy Awards for his previous recordings, he didn't need much guidance on the nuance of tone. And since he was writing not only about the work he did for the country, but also about his life as a father and a husband, these sections were inherently personal and, at times, emotional. The main job for me in a session like this is to set the stage for the work ahead and identify shifts in tone between sections. If we were wrapping up a chapter that was particularly difficult and then shifting to a more upbeat one, I would ask him to pause for 30 seconds or take a break to shift his mental state for what came next. I knew his narration was working because the recording team, too, needed to take a breath occasionally and let his words sit with us in the control room. His performance was affecting us while we were hearing it. The narration truly does wash over you and make you feel like it's intended only for your ears. Audiophile. A Promised Land is 29 hours long. How do you keep everyone's stamina and energy up through such a long process? Dan Zitt. When we started the process, the president wanted to get back into game shape by working for a few hours and then coming back the next day, building up to longer recording. We realized that shorter sessions worked much better for the president's voice, so we planned more sessions but fewer hours per day. Normally, you don't have the luxury of recording this way, but it's much easier to keep the energy high when the sessions are shorter. president is also a really upbeat guy, and we laughed a lot during the sessions, which makes work much less intense during extended periods like this. When you have a book of this length, levity in the studio is always helpful. Audiophile. Can you share any memorable anecdotes? Dan Zitt. Everything about these sessions was memorable, whether it was the fist bump he gave you on the way into the studio every day, the laughter we shared about a challenging word, or the chats we'd have on breaks about music or sports. These recording sessions were larger than life. I was immersed in history for 3 weeks during a pandemic with someone I greatly admire, so I will always cherish that time in studio, helping the president tell his story. The thing that will always stick with me is just how accessible the president was. He answered our questions during breaks and asked us where we're from and what our stories are, making for a good atmosphere in the studio. He is doing all the heavy lifting behind the mic, but you feel like you're a team in the studio. It enhances the experience for everyone and in the end makes for a great recording. Audiophile. Anything else you'd like to share with us about recording A Promised Land? Dan Zitt. The memories of recording A Promised Land will remain with me for the rest of my life. I was embedded in Martha's Vineyard for 3 weeks with a person who changed the world. My main goal was to leave there with an audiobook that lived up to the remarkable book he had written in the medium I have spent my life advocating for. The president's performance and hard work in the studio achieved all of that and more because we ended up with something I believe citizens of this country will be listening to years from now, feeling like they are sitting in a room right next to him. It's a piece of history in so many ways, and I'm honored to be a part of a recording that will live on for generations. And that was our In the Studio with Dan Zitt talking about A Promised Land. And here is the review of that book. It's an Earphones winner. As you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. This is A Promised Land, the review by Barack Obama, read by the author. President Obama's distinctively deliberate delivery, singular cadence, and love of words are all fully on display in this, the first volume of his monumental memoir. Another volume is projected. The sound of his voice, sometimes professorial, sometimes storytelling, occasionally intimate, is well known around the planet. The audiobook is packed with anecdotes and political memories. What sticks with the listener are the family moments, his growing up in Hawaii and Indonesia, the love story with Michelle, playing with his children, the influences of his mom, granddad, and grandma. Much of this memoir has the quality of an interior monologue in which he explains his famous calm, his work ethic, the job of being president. Opinions populate the paragraphs, crises abound, and to a remarkable extent, his history is our history. Alan Minskoff wrote that review of A Promised Land. It's an Earphones winner, written and read by Barack Obama. It's available from Random House Audio for 29 hours of unabridged listening. Now we'll turn our attention to our reviews in biography and memoir and history. Our first review is Green Lights, written and read by Matthew McConaughey, and it's an Earphones winner. The product of a self-imposed desert exile with his exhaustive collection of personal journals, Matthew McConaughey's non-traditional memoir offers a series of philosophical reflections on his first 50 years and on life itself. It's written in an episodic style replete with poems, prescriptions, and four-letter words. McConaughey's performance is a tour de force one-man show. Varying his tone, volume, and perceived distance from the microphone, he creates an audiobook that is much like an experimental film whose theme is that the writer, narrator, as well as all of us, is a spiritual being having a human experience while looking for the green lights along the path. Dark at moments, the eccentric McConaughey charms and enchants with his Texas twang, and its conclusion, McConaughey reflects on the COVID-19 pandemic. William Gewirtz wrote that review of Green Lights, written and read by Matthew McConaughey. It's an Earphones winner from Random House Audio, and it's 6.75 hours of unabridged listening. And this is just a reminder that you are listening to the February-March issue of Audiophile Magazine. It's the magazine that wants you to discover the world of audiobooks. Next review in biography, memoir, and history is Sometimes You Have to Lie, The Life and Times of Louise Fitzhugh, renegade author of Harriet the Spy. It's written by Leslie Brody, and it's read by Suzanne Torin. It's unsurprising that Suzanne Torin has an impressive catalog of audiobook narrations to her name. Adding to this fascinating biography of Louise Fitzhugh, author of the classic middle grade novel Harriet the Spy. From her troubled childhood as part of the Memphis upper class through her adulthood as an artist and writer living in New York City, Torin captures Louise's wild artistic nature and brings to life the eclectic mix of people who were part of Louise's world. Torin's performance allows one to easily imagine oneself among them. Listeners will find themselves wanting to complete the audiobook in one sitting. Amanda Murphy wrote that review of Sometimes You Have to Lie, The Life and Times of Louise Fitzhugh, renegade author of Harriet the Spy. It's written by Leslie Brody, read by Suzanne Torin. It's available from Hachette Audio for 10.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in biography, memoir, history is Fauci by Michael Spector, and Earphones winner read by the author. Journalist Michael Spector's throaty voice and emotional yet precise delivery perfectly suits his examination of the coronavirus pandemic and the man who is trying to save us from it, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Based on Spector's profile of Fauci for The New Yorker, this short and gripping audio production blends interviews with Fauci and Fauci's wife, herself a bioethicist with the NIH, historical audio clips and news reports, and a fact-filled narrative that captures the listener's attention as effectively as a suspense novel. This time, though, the terrifying plot points are real. Dr. Fauci, with a Brooklyn accent, is colloquial, disarming, and funny. He's also ferociously smart, eloquent, and stubborn. Spector, who has long written about science, is knowledgeable, eloquent, and impassioned. Together, they are riveting. Aurelia C. Scott wrote that review of Fauci, written and read by Michael Spector. It's an Earphones winner. It's available from Pushkin Industries for 3 hours, unabridged. Next, we have This Time Next Year We'll Be Laughing. It's an Earphones winner, written and read by Jacqueline Winspear. Author and narrator Jacqueline Winspear makes listeners feel as if they are sitting across from her as she recounts her family's struggles during the World Wars in England. Her voice is expressive, clear, and emotionally appropriate, keeping listeners completely engaged as she moves back and forth in time and place. As we have seen in her Maisie Dobbs series, Winspear's talent as a writer shines in her attention to detail and expert depictions of the emotional impact of war. Winspear is equally talented in the actual telling of the stories, giving listeners a glimpse of the lives of her grandparents, parents, and neighbors, as well as the challenges she confronted as a child. Listeners will even be treated to hearing about the moment she decided to become a writer, an illuminating and entertaining listen. Ellen Quint wrote that review of This Time Next Year We'll Be Laughing. It's an Earphones winner written and read by Jacqueline Winspear, and it's available from Recorded Books for 10 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is The Dead Are Arising, The Life of Malcolm X. It's written by Les Payne and Tamara Payne, and it's read by Dion Graham. Narrator Dion Graham performs this well-researched biography of activist Malcolm X with dignified expression, matching the journalistic style of the authors. Decades in the making, this audiobook, based on personal interviews and firsthand accounts, puts Malcolm X's life and work in context, especially as they intersected with the KKK, Martin Luther King Jr., the FBI, the Black Muslim religion, and the budding civil rights movement in general. Graham matches his tone to the narrative text, avoiding dramatization, yet clearly signaling direct quotes and changes in speakers. His careful pace allows listeners time to absorb the facts and broader implications of Malcolm X's stories. At the end, Graham's understated performance of this assassination is chilling, subtly building the tension and horror of Malcolm X's last moments. Candace Levy wrote the review of The Dead Are Arising, The Life of Malcolm X by Les Payne and Tamara Payne, read by Dion Graham. It's available from Recorded Books for 18 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have Dolly Parton Songteller, My Life in Lyrics, written and read by Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton, humanitarian and performer, brings her perky personality and vocalizations to this highly informal, freewheeling discussion of the roots and derivations of her well-known and not-so-well-known song lyrics. A voice never identified acts a bit like a host, filling the interstitial segments between selections, and brief song snippets are also included. Candid stories and memories abound, yet there is something quizzical about the effort as a whole. It seems as if there was an interviewer with Parton at the time of writing, recording, as she directs her comments to a specific person who remains unidentified. She will begin a thought and then rephrase the thought in a continuous time. Listeners may want to consider this a live symposium by the beloved songwriter about her 60 years of songwriting. William Gewirtz wrote that review of Dolly Parton, Songteller, My Life in Lyrics, written and read by Dolly Parton. It's available from Recorded Books for 5.25 hours of unabridged listening. Continuing in history, biography, and memoir, we have The Indomitable Florence Finch. It's written by Robert J. Mrazek, and it's an Earphones winner read by Dan Warren. Adopting a no-nonsense tone, Dan Warren narrates this fascinating biography of Filipina Florence Finch, a.k.a. Loring May Ebersole, 1915-2016. The mestiza daughter of an American soldier of the Spanish-American War. The work focuses on her resistance work under the Japanese occupation of Manila during World War II, for which she was awarded a Presidential Medal of Freedom. Warren effortlessly shifts from English narrative to Spanish or Japanese terms in the midst of this engrossing story. Steadily and unfailingly, Warren's narration follows the action in the Pacific Theater, from the Bataan Death March, Corregidor, and Manila, to prisoner of war camps and Japanese prisons with their associated atrocities. Throughout, Warren's performance is unemotional, rarely reflecting the brutality of events and the hopelessness of the prisoners during this little-known chapter in history. Miriam B. Kahn wrote that review of The Indomitable Florence Finch. It's written by Robert J. Mrazek. It's an Earphones winner read by Dan Warren, and it's available from Hachette Audio for 10.25 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Man Who Ran Washington, The Life and Times of James A. Baker III. It's written by Peter Baker with Susan Glasser, and it's an Earphones winner read by Michael Quinlan. This political biography is a surprise. Not only is James A. Baker's III's life story fascinating, but this book is also written in an engaging and accessible style. It is eminently suited to audio. With Michael Quinlan narrating, the audiobook offers driveway moments political junkies will love and others will enjoy and learn from. Baker is described as an accidental political savant who went from high-powered Texas attorney to the height of political power as White House Chief of Staff, Secretary of State, and manager of five Republican presidential campaigns. Quinlan's tone, like the books, ranges from easygoing to deadly serious. He injects a bit of Texas accent into Baker's quotes with mixed success, but that is a small criticism. Richard Gottschall wrote that review of The Man Who Ran Washington, The Life and Times of James A. Baker III. It's written by Peter Baker and Susan Glasser. It's an Earphones winner read by Michael Quinlan, and it's available from Random House Audio for 26.5 hours of unabridged listening. Continuing now, we have The Last Million, Europe's Displaced Persons from World War to Cold War. It's written by David Nassau, and it's an Earphones winner read by Malcolm Hilgartner. In this meticulously researched tome, the fates of 1 million displaced persons who were left without homes as a result of World War II are presented with clarity and precision by narrator Malcolm Hilgartner. Nassau deftly interweaves the personal and political, juxtaposing the post-war strategies of the Allied nations and several international organizations with distressing personal histories of those who lost everything except their lives. Hilgartner is particularly effective at conveying the accounts of concentration camp survivors, forced laborers, and other displaced persons who had no option but to remain, sometimes for years, in refugee camps, awaiting possible resettlement in Israel, the U.S., and other nations. A powerhouse treatise is enhanced by a riveting narration. Michelle Ritholtz wrote that review of The Last Million, Europe's Displaced Persons from World War to Cold War. It's written by David Nassau, and it's an Earphones winner read by Malcolm Hilgartner. It's available from Penguin Audio for 19.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Making of Casablanca, Bogart, Bergman, and World War II. It's written by Algin Harmetz, and it's read by Scott Brick. This is an audiobook history of a film that is on almost everyone's list of favorite classics. It's also a penetrating history of movie making in the age when the studios ruled. Harmetz, a longtime film critic and historian, traces the development of Casablanca from play script to film script, from major to minor casting, and through each stage of production. Her analysis is perceptive, informed, and rich in insider detail. Narrator Scott Brick delivers a solid and thoroughly satisfying performance focused on the factual thread of the narrative with little embellishment. Here is an ideal choice, not only for listeners who cherish this particular film, but also for anyone interested in the realities and practicalities of classic filmmaking. David Walton wrote that review of The Making of Casablanca, Bogart, Bergman, and World War II. It's written by Algene Harmetz, read by Scott Brick. It's available from Oasis Audio for 12.75 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have C.S. Lewis, A Biography of Friendship by Colin Duryea, read by Simon Vance. Simon Vance's narration often center on his gentle but authoritative gravitas, and this one is no exception. His voice is a perfect fit for the story of author C.S. Lewis's life. Listeners should not anticipate a deep academic dive into Lewis's work. The author aims his audiobook at listeners who are generally aware of Lewis through his work or the movies based on his work. Lewis's early growth and development are highlighted throughout. The work captures his inspirations, including his eventual embrace of Christianity. The meaningful friendship that Lewis cultivated and that impacted his worldview are also covered. Simon Vance's performance quietly bears witness to Lewis's life, making for a wonderful listening experience. Stephen Cummings wrote that review of C.S. Lewis, A Biography of Friendship by Colin Duryea. It's read by Simon Vance, and it's available from Oasis Audio for 7.25 hours of unabridged listening. That's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when you'll hear our feature, Five Questions for Dionne Graham, and a review of Roland Marullo's novel, American Savior, a novel of divine politics. It's an Earphones winner, read by Dionne Graham. After that, we'll have an assortment of reviews in fiction, including a review of Dark Tides, Fairmile, Book 2 by Philippa Gregory, an Earphones winner read by Louise Brealey. So until then, thanks for listening.